Welcome in, everyone, back to the Stack the Pads podcast, a.k.a. your Division I RMU Women's Hockey podcast. But we're going to stick to just hockey in general here and RMU athletics in general. We have a very special guest here today, Larry Schneider. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Owen. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you for having me
here.
The
PA announcer for various RMU athletics, including our
hockey in general.
Yeah, including
really.
Hockey.
Yes, I do Robert Morris men's and women's D1 ice hockey. I fill in on some of the other sports right now. I've made it to football, men's and women's soccer, men's and women's lacrosse, men's and women's basketball, and women's volleyball. So I've still waiting for the call from softball.
Yeah. And not just here, but also you said the Youngstown Phantoms.
Yes, I used to be full-time with the Youngstown Phantoms of the United States Hockey League, which is Tier 1 Junior A hockey. They play at the Covelli Center in Youngstown, and I was there full-time. I do them part-time now and fill in there when I can.
It's a nice rink there, yeah.
And what – I know we're talking about what you do sort of, but what originally got you to do to start doing PA announcing?
I started – this would be – ooh, more – 15 or more years ago. I had been helping out at Youngstown Phantoms when they were in the North American Hockey League, which is Tier 2 Junior A hockey. I had been a goal judge. I had been a penalty box attendant. And I finally got a chance to cut my teeth on Youngstown State Club ice hockey. They were part of the ACHA. And that was where I first got to do public address. And it moved on from there.
You're also a writer for Top of the Incline Sports. What started?
That's my blog. Yes.
Yeah, your blog. What inspired you to create that, and what has that been like? That experience.
A little bit slow right now. I need to get back on the stick and do a little bit more writing. Yeah. What made me want to do it was I had written for several other blogs over the last few years, and some of them went by the wayside, and I didn't have a ownership or any type of control. Mm-hmm. And so I figured if I want a website that I know it's going to be there when I'm ready to write, then start your own. Mm-hmm. As opposed to depending on somebody else.
So you started, what made you start just to get into the sports media world in general? Did you get a degree in that when you went to college, or was it kind of just
That's better part of 40 years ago. Yeah. I have a degree in political science from Westminster College up in Lawrence County in New Wilmington, PA. Chris Shovlin, who is the radio voice of RMU men's basketball and football, and I share the same alma mater, just as a piece of trivia. The best Westminster College Titans make the best Colonials.
Yeah.
But recently, I have interacted with people like former SID Matt Geica, and we have done some work together. We did a podcast together called The Gospel of Hockey. I did local sports talk radio in Youngstown on WBBW. At one time, it was the ESPN affiliate. Now it's the CBS Sports Network affiliate in Youngstown. For 5 years, I did Salem High School football and WSOM in Salem. So it's just come from various, wherever people needed a warm body, I happened to be in the right place at the right time, I guess.
And you mentioned you've been doing this for a while. How have you seen the sports media world evolve over that time?
Oh, it's just exploded. Social media in particular, whether we're talking about Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and just how information is disseminated. Two of the favorite publications that I used to read was the sports section of the USA Today and the Sporting News. But now you just pick up your phone and you can get the same kind of information. So just how the information is distributed has just skyrocketed and changed the landscape of how things are reported. Plus, we've also seen a somewhat implosion of regular newspapers. You no longer can pick up a Daily Post Gazette. The Pittsburgh Press went out of business. So again, everything's online. It's no longer, you know, you pick up, put your 50 cents in the box and pick up a newspaper. You actually hold something in your hand while you're drinking your coffee.
How have you adjusted to these changes? Do you like these changes, or?
Yeah, I think it makes the sports information more available to everyone. My only growing concern about is that more and more, and this is just not sports, this is information in general. Yeah. When we're talking about news or information in general, more and more websites are going behind paywalls, so you got to be a subscriber, and that's great. I don't deny anybody the chance to try to make money, but you're only going to be able to cut the pie so many ways. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you start a website or you're working for a website that is behind, I got to subscribe to read your article. I can't do that with everybody. Yeah. And I think a lot of other people are going to be in that same boat. So that's the only disturbing trend I see in the distribution of information, is that eventually you're going to have, you know, haves and haves nots at times.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree. Yeah. I always see like posts, like especially in the NHL, where there's like
read the Athletic,
and then it's from the Athletic. And
right.
While I don't deny like the Athletic's a great source for news and stuff like that, it's just I don't have a subscription. I want to know what's right. going on here and stuff like that.
Right. You have to do the same thing with DK Pittsburgh Sports, yep. or you have to do the same thing with the Beaver County Times. You have to do, and again, that multiple effect. I might be able to subscribe to one, mm-hmm. but I can't subscribe to all of them.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting and changing. And so you do a lot of work in sports media and stuff like that. What is the day in the life of Larry Snyder like? Is it crazy, or is there no such thing?
I don't think there's no such thing as crazy. I've been married for 42 years to the same wonderful woman, Mary, and I have two daughters. Usually the night before a game, like for a Robert Morris men's and women's hockey game, I prepare some material. I have put out rosters, so when I get the starting lineups, all I got to do is underline who's the starting six, and then I've got my starting lineup ready to go that night at the game. So I do most of my prep work before any men's and women's hockey game the night before, and then I pack it in my briefcase and I'm ready to go.
Has there been any conflicts where you've had multiple games? We've had to have like work multiple games on the same night or things like that.
Well, Robert Morris men's and women's hockey, I've had double headers.
Yeah.
It's just interesting to do. It's mm-hmm. fun to do. And, I enjoy doing it. I have, helped out with, RMU women's volleyball where they've had their tournament in the fall. Usually it's like tied to the Sheraton Invitational tournament, where you have like three or four volleyball games all in the same day. Robert Morris may be playing in two of them, and the other two you just got the other participants who are there in the tournament. And Robert Morris has always been very good to me. They take care of me. If you've got multiple games that day, I get fed, and there's breaks between games, and you know you can go to the media center or whatever and take a break for a minute. So it's been a very terrific experience.
And going off that normal day, that question that Owen asked a bit earlier, if, let's say there's a 7:05 puck drop, what time would you normally get to the arena?
I try to get to the Island Sports Center about 6. I would get there about an hour ahead of time. Gives me a chance to see the script from Marty Galossi in the athletic department. It also gives me a chance to see the script from the SID. Because in particular, like with the women's games, part of the pregame introductions is they have the Little Sisters mm-hmm. program, and so you need to see who the Little Sisters are going to be skating out with the starting lineup of the RMU women's team. And so it just gives me a chance to peruse that information, get all my announcements, how I want to do them, in what order, and everything lined up. So, yeah, I try to get any RMU sporting event, I try to get an hour ahead of time.
You have your own sort of catchphrases, if you will. The third period is our period.
Yes.
The band things. Were those your own coined terms, or did you kind of just?
Some of them are my own. Some of them some people helped me with. I've been doing some of those going all the way back to the Phantom days mm-hmm. to, you know, make some noise, Robert Morris. It is Colonials time. Okay. you know, the third period is our period. Let's go Colonials. Some of those things, if you go to a Youngstown Phantoms game, you're going to hear the same exact phrase. It's just going to be, let's go Phantoms instead of let's go Colonials. But don't tell anybody here at RMU that. It's our secret, yes. Yeah.
What has your relationship been like with the band? That's like an interesting kind of thing that I always notice in games with the band and
one period left in.
Yeah.
Oh, I get along with the band great. I think they bring an incredible energy and an incredible enthusiasm to every game. I think they help make Colonials Arena give it a home ice advantage with the RMU band. And I think I have a great relationship with them. I try to give them a shout out at least twice a game, once at the beginning, once at the end. And I think Betsy Charles does a great job.
Yeah. It's just something I've noticed a lot. It was just the thank you, the things like that. And it really helps
it's,
just
yeah,
bring
it's just
away
the small things like that as well.
Well, that's been a recent development. Apparently, that actually came from the band. They told me that when they had played, I think up in Buffalo for the women's, the CHA tournament, that if they say something about the 1 minute warning, the public address announcer there would say thank you, or they'd say thank you, and he would say you're welcome. And they wanted to know if I would do that. So I talked to Marty, and he said, yeah, go ahead and tell him you're welcome. And that's where that came from.
So there's a lot of community involvement going on with you. 12 years now. Since 2012, or what has it been like just to be here for that long? And what are some moments that you've seen over the years that you've been just happy to be a part of?
Well, some of the things I've been really happy part of was the men's outdoor game in 2017 when they played Niagara. Mm-hmm. I got to be the public address announcer at Heinz Field, home of the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's pretty cool. Yeah. They've had some men's single games at PPG Paints Arena, mm-hmm. In particular Dartmouth and Penn State, over the last 3 or 4 years. And so I get to go. I've had the opportunity to be the public address announcer at PPG Paints Arena, home of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yep. So that's quite a thrill. I recently was the women's Battle of the Berg tournament, mm-hmm. the UPMC Lemieux Center. That was a lot of fun. And I've always enjoyed for the last 4 years, the women's teddy bear toss mm-hmm. game that they've had to give teddy bears to charitable groups in Allegheny County. Those are always fun. Yeah. So those are definitely go on the highlight reel, mm-hmm. shall we say.
What do you think your favorite arena has been to announce in?
Colonials Arena.
Yeah, you're going to stick with that?
We're going to stick with that, yes. To me, it's never been about the size of the arena. Mm-hmm. It's never been about the size of the crowd. I will give you everything I've got, whether there's 10 people sitting there or 10,000. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter about the size of the arena either. I figure Robert Morris has brought me in. Let's make it fun and let's make it, you know, you can describe me as a homer. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Yes, I'm here for the Colonials, and it's Colonials time.
All right.
And speaking of the community, you also frequently, I know you retweet our stuff a lot. Is that something that you've been doing for a while, just, you know, helping out us student journalists?
Yeah, I've been trying to help Robert Morris Century Media and some of the various student writers to get your word out there. I'm not sure how effective my tweets are, but I try to help out with some appropriate hashtags that maybe will get it, spread the word a little bit.
Yeah.
And I've always enjoyed doing that. It's just something social media, I know I'm not the right demographic. I'll be 65 in August. I know that social media was not meant to be aimed at me, but I enjoy working in it. And if I can advance the cause of some students, then that's all good too.
Do you have what are some advice? I mean, you mentioned 65. You've been in the sports media world for what? You said 40 years about now?
About, yeah, something like that.
What are some advice that you have for guys like us trying to get into that world?
Oh, wow. Keep plugging away. Keep knocking on doors, you know, because you're going to hear a lot of no's. Mm-hmm. But somebody's eventually going to say yes. They're going to need a body to whether it's covering high school football or maybe it's NCAA Division III men's and women's basketball or maybe it's NAIA softball, but just keep knocking on doors. You may have to, you know, start. You're not going to maybe get to start with the Pittsburgh Pirates or the Steelers or the Penguins right out of the box. You know, some lucky few do, but, you know, you need to, you know, just a lot of shoe leather to the pavement and don't give up. I know it's going to get discouraging, but just don't give up and keep plugging away, because somebody will open the door to you. They will say yes, and you'll finally be on your way.
What was your moment like that, the on your way moment in your career?
Right now, over the last 40 years, it was probably when Youngstown State, the coach there, took a chance on me to do the public address. And then the next one after that was, at that time, Matt Geico, who used to be an SID here at Robert Morris. In his career, he was the media person and the radio announcer for the Youngstown Phantoms when they moved into the United States Hockey League, Tier 1 Junior A Hockey. Mm-hmm. And I auditioned for the public address announcer, and he took a chance on me. And he and I have been kind of hooked up that way ever since. So just keep knocking on doors. And those were the things that opened for me. I connected with some people in Youngstown, and they needed somebody to do Salem High School football because they were doing the regular high school football game of the week on WBBW. They needed somebody to go down to Salem, and I was – put my hand up and say, pick me, Monty, I'll go. And, you know, so that's how I end up doing Salem High School football for 5 years.
So what, when you're actually behind the PA box, what is like an actual job setting like for you? And like, what are your requirements, for just a game in, game out scenario? Cause I've always been curious to like, cause I've never been in the PA booth. What is that like just behind there?
It's a lot of fun. You're oftentimes, well, for hockey, you're definitely working right next to the person who is running the scoreboard. Mm-hmm. And between the two of you, you get to talk to the refs. They're going to come over and tell you what the penalty call is. They're going to tell you who scored the goal. If they, you know, have it, they'll tell you the assist. But it's just to be there in the moment, in the game, watching these terrific young people, it's just a lot of fun. Keeps me young, keeps me busy, keeps me active, and I just wouldn't have it any other way. I enjoy game day, and I enjoy being in the public, behind the public address microphone in the scorekeeper's box in particular for hockey. My daughter played rec hockey, and it's just a game that I've grown to love and become involved with.
And then what are, obviously we're talking about what it's like, what is the most probably difficult thing you have to deal with on a week-to-week basis or a game-to-game basis?
Probably getting the pronunciations of the names of the opposing team is probably the most difficult thing, because sometimes they don't always provide pronunciation guides on the opposing team's website. So you almost are there, have to wait to that hour before the game start, and you finally get the line chart, and then maybe you can see some of the name pronunciations of the opposing players, because some of them can be a little bit tricky, and I know I make mistakes. I'll be the first one to admit it, that I don't always get them all right. But it's really just to get the names down of the opposing team.
Yeah, you're hoping those players aren't the ones that are starting and
yes,
score. And
yes, like that's what you're kind of hoping, that maybe this person won't start, so yeah, you can, you know, get by.
Now we saw a couple of like big, like you would have to make a different type of announcement, especially in this men's hockey game that went to double overtime last weekend, and then a couple weeks before, J.C. Gebhardt, all-time lead in points. Are those like some different things that you look towards and have a lot of fun just announcing?
Oh, sure.
Those
things. A lot of those. Well, the overtime script I have developed myself. And the men's has changed from the women's. The men now play, take a 2 minute break, play a 5 minute overtime period, 5-on-5 hockey. Take another 2 minute break, play a 5 minute period of 3-on-3 hockey, and then you take the final 2 minute break, and then you go to the shootout. For the women, it's still just 2 minute break, 5 minute, five, 5-on-5 hockey, and that's it. Mm-hmm. If it's tied, it's tied at the end of that 5 minutes. But announcements like for J.C. Gebhardt, or we had an announcement for Luke Lynch, mm-hmm. being the second of the Lynch brothers to get to 100 points, yeah. In a career as a Colonial on the ice. Usually someone like Ryan Rodriguez, who is the current SID, will have that written up for me ahead of time and say, if this happens, here's the read. Yeah. And I go ahead and do it and drop it in where I can, when I can. The overtime I've written myself, and I'm just ready. We'll cover each overtime period as we get to it, because mm-hmm. you never know when somebody's going to score a goal and you're done, because yeah. it's always sudden death.
You ever had to call a shootout before?
I've done shootout. Well, for Robert Morris, we just did one this year for the first time. I think we've only done one, but I have done shootouts. The USHL, the United States Hockey League, the Youngstown Phantoms, mm-hmm. Adopted the shootout after the National Hockey League decided to go with the shootout to decide regular season games at the end. If they were still tied, they'd go to a shootout. And the USHL quickly adopted that rule. So, yes, I've done shootouts both at Tier 1 Junior A hockey and college hockey.
And if you – obviously, you've done this since 2012 for Robert Morris. If you had to pick one on the men's and women's side, who is the best player you've seen?
Ooh. Ooh, my. Well, that's
– yeah, it's a question we thought about asking you, because we've only been here 2 years.
Yeah, we haven't seen Brittany
we've
Howard
play. We've
never
seen Brittany Howard
play. We haven't seen, you know, Brady Ferguson.
Yeah. And it's
well, certainly three players – on the men's side would be Brady Ferguson, Zach Lynch, and Cody Wideau, mm-hmm. are certainly among the best. I liked goaltender Terry Schaefer. For the women, before we got Kirsten Welsh or Emily Curlett, Rebecca Vint was definitely one of the outstanding women's players. Certainly, as we talked about, J.C. Gebhardt, Amber Rennie, Brittany Howard, they're all – just yeah. outstanding, incredible players, and I really hope that more people, you know, make it down to Colonials Arena, to the Island Sports Center on Neville Island, to see these outstanding student athletes, because these are players who are giving it their all. They're outstanding student athletes. They do well in the classroom, and you want your son or daughter to play for somebody like a Derek Schooley or a Paul Colantino and their staffs. Mm-hmm. Because they do it right. They do it right here at Robert Morris, and that's why I want to be a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. What is your current thoughts on just this seasons of both men's and women's hockey? And is there a part of you that do you have to stay unbiased? Or
I have been told I don't have to stay unbiased, that I'm there to announce for Robert Morris. I try to keep as under control and neutral as I can in the scorekeeper's box. I'm pleased when Robert Morris wins. Yeah. I think the women could definitely win the regular season title in the CHA. Again, this season, they're duking it out with their old nemesis up I-79 with Mercyhurst. It's, I think, going to come down to between the two of them, who's going to finish first in the division. Right now, the last time I looked, the men, I think, were around 6th or 7th place. And they certainly, if they could get up to 5th, then they would get a bye in the first round of the Atlantic Hockey Association playoffs. Can they do that? They're going to have to finish strong and probably win out to try to pull that off. But if they still want to stay at least 6th or 7th, because they would host the first round of the mm-hmm. tournament at Colonials Arena, and we want to see that happen here.
Yeah, we saw it happen last year. They went on
yes.
a run,
yes.
and they made it and got a bye in the playoffs. And
then beat Bentley in 3 games.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Exactly. And I think that was on the road.
Yes.
The Bentley pickup.
And you mentioned the Mercyhurst rivalry. What other rivalries do you think are the big ones in RMU hockey?
For RMU hockey, I think for the men, besides Mercyhurst, I definitely think – it is Penn State when they get a chance to play them. And there are definitely good games when Air Force and Army, both of the service academies, are here. They are, you know, hard-fought games on the men's side. For the women, besides Mercyhurst, I think they like it when they play Penn State. I know that Syracuse, depending upon the season, can give you a good game. So I think those are – and then I think they like the challenge, like with the Battle of the Berg tournament when you had Colgate in Wisconsin. Yeah, you had the top teams here. And I think that gives the RMU women a chance to measure themselves and accept the challenge and rise up to the challenge of taking on those teams.
Over all your years here, do you remember certain games that you'll just never forget?
There was a men's playoff game in particular. I think it was against Army. And, I'm trying to think of it. Oh, Dalton Isaac. He had been number two goaltender, but the starting goaltender got hurt, and Isaac had to finish game two, and then it went to it. But it was a best of three, and Army had won the first game, and then we took the second, and then it was Sunday for all the marbles, and Isaac got the job done between the pipes, and Robert Morris, won that series.
Wow.
And that was definitely – I always remember that, and it's for the women, I'm trying to think if there was a particular moment. Always the games when they get the victory against Mercyhurst are
this weekend.
Yes.
Both away, but yeah.
It's a really big game this weekend.
Yeah. As for the women, this is a women's hockey podcast. We'll recap their weekend. They actually tied the second game against Penn State. 3-1 win in the first one against Penn State. Reagan Kirk got the start. Emily Curlett scored a power play goal.
What else is new? And Maggie Burbage.
She had two goals. She's been a bright spot.
Yes, Emily Curlett is now the all-time leading goal scorer for a defenseman on the RMU women. She just passed Kirsten Welsh, and we congratulate Emily for that, certainly. Mm-hmm. That happened over that weekend, as you're talking about, against Penn State.
That happened in the second game. The second game, 2-2 overtime tie. DeSmet got the start. Boyle with a late third period tally. We actually went down 2-0 in the game. We ended up coming back and get the point. Luckily, though, Lindenwood beat Mercyhurst over the
good
weekend.
Good for them.
So,
Colonials now in
and the Colonials
sole possession.
Are still a point ahead. So that's currently the status on women's hockey as of right now.
Up next, it is the biggest weekend of the year, most likely, for at least the regular season.
Okay.
Against Mercyhurst.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is up in Erie.
This is
right.
Up in Erie.
They're on the road. Yes. We want to remind everybody that, if you can, head up 79 get to Mercyhurst to cheer on your Colonials.
Yeah, Mercyhurst, Robert Morris this weekend, and then I believe they're home against RIT next weekend.
And that may be senior weekend. We may be coming up very closely on honoring our both our men and women seniors in the hockey program. So it'll be that weekend.
They're both home that weekend.
They're both home on that Saturday. It's a doubleheader, I think, that Saturday.
Yeah, men's plays a home and home against Canisius, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I'm sure we'll be there. And obviously, Larry Snyder will be there. So,
yes.
We'd like to thank you all for tuning in and thank Larry Snyder for coming in.
Yes, big thank you.
Big games this weekend for women's hockey. And we obviously thank our special guests for
Thank you.
In.
Thank you for having me. It was great to be here with all of you. And as always, the third period is our period.
Of
Let's
course.
Go Colonials.
Of course. On Twitter, Larry_N_Snyder.
Yes.
I'm Krep Sentry.
Sentry Hannah.
Sentry Hannah. So thank you all for tuning in, and we'll catch you guys next week.